Well, good morning. Yeah, you can applaud for that. That's funny. My name is Kevin Crawford. I am one of the pastors here. We're glad you're here. Usually on a Sunday morning, I will teach from the Bible. We're walking through the book of Mark, and we kind of work it verse by verse and bring its application to us. But we're going to do something a little different this morning, and we're going to have a small group discussion about the passage that we're in this morning. Every Sunday, you get a program, or you can pick one up, and on the back, there's study questions. And those study questions are to help facilitate a discussion, and anybody can lead the discussion. And one thing we want to kind of demonstrate this morning as we walk through this passage is that anybody in this room who follows Jesus can lead a discussion. I think there's an onus of, well, there's teachers and there's people who listen. But there's a way of followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, that we can facilitate a discussion with very easy questions that are open-ended. You could do this around the dinner table with your family. You can do this with a small group. You could do this with a group of people who attend Trinity. And we believe that at Trinity, small groups are really important. We sit in a room like this, but really the family of God gathers in circles and discusses and does life together. And everything that was made fun of in that video is what we should be about in many ways in the body of Christ. And so we are just going to have a little discussion, and then I'll wrap it up with just a small about bit of teaching as well. So why don't you get to watch us kind of have a small group today? So, hey, so we're just going to introduce ourselves. Valerie, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us something very interesting about yourself.
My name's Valerie Beck. Interesting fact about me is I had a skunk growing up as a child. That was my pet. Yeah, so bought it at a pet store, you know, just a tiny little baby skunk, had the stinker out, and we named her Daisy.
Nice.
My name is Miranda, and interesting fact is I have a twin sister.
Nice.
My name is Andrew. Interesting fact about me, when I was younger, I was in dance. I took dance lessons.
Good morning, I'm Lance Poole, and I had two flat tires last month while driving.
My name's Kevin Crawford, and one of my summer jobs in college was to pick up roadkill, and so I'm glad I didn't pick up stinker. That would have been a bad thing.
Daisy,
sorry.
Daisy.
You took out the stinker. Her name was Daisy.
Wow.
Well, when I think of skunk, I don't think of Daisy. I think of stinker. So if you have a program, in the back are all the questions that we kind of walk through, and then inside is the scripture. So the first kind of thing that we want to encourage people to do is read the text that is going on in the Bible study, or not the Bible study, but the group discussion, small group. So we're going to have somebody read this passage out of Mark 10, 35 through 52.
So I'm reading out of the ESV, so that should be what you guys have in.
Yeah, that's what you have in here. And so the first part is listen and follow along.
And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they became to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go away, go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way.
Thanks, Andrew. So kind of the first part you see in the study is get a Bible in front of you. Even if people in the group don't have a Bible, you can encourage them to download the Bible app and follow along. And the next thing is have somebody read it, but don't follow along, but just listen to it. And it's really good to have maybe somebody else read it from a different translation, more of a readable translation like the NLT or even the Message, and just listen to it. So we're going to have somebody else just read it now. Lance, you read it, and we're just going to listen to it. So don't follow along. You're like, did the pastor just tell me not to follow along? This is just part of the exercise of now, let's just listen to the story.
So reading from the NLT. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do us a favor." "What is it?" he asked. "In your glorious kingdom, we want to sit in places of honor next to you," they said, "one at your right and the other at your left." But Jesus answered, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of sorrow I am about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with?" "Oh, yes," they said, "we are able." And Jesus said, "You will indeed drink from my cup and be baptized with my baptism. But I have no right to say who will sit on the thrones next to mine. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." When the 10 other disciples discovered what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, "You know that in this world, kings are tyrants, and officials lord it over the people beneath them. But among you, it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others, and to give my life as a ransom for many." And so they reached Jericho. Later, as Jesus and his disciples left town, a great crowd was following. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road as Jesus was going by. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus from Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," some of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "Teacher," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has healed you." And instantly the blind man could see. Then he followed Jesus down the road.
Thanks, Lance. So kind of the third movement of kind of a discussion like this is let's retell this story in our own words. And you can have someone retell it themselves or kind of piece it together as the group, kind of filtering it through our own lens and just kind of what we heard. And so let's just retell the story by kind of piece by piece, one at a time a little bit. So who wants to start? I'll begin to retell the story here.
Sure, I'll start. So James and John decided it's a great idea to go to Jesus and say, "Hey, you know, we want to be seated next to you in authority when you are in heaven, and we want to be in this place of authority, of position," and so they approach him and ask him for this.
And then I feel like Jesus kind of puts them in their place. Like, who are you to say, like, do you think you can do that? Do you think you're worthy enough to sit at my left hand and right hand? And they're like, "Well, yeah, of course we can. Well, we've been following you. We've been doing all these things. Of course we belong. We deserve those spots."
And then, yeah, Jesus goes on to say that if you want to be in a place of authority like that, first you have to learn how to serve other people. He said, "Even I, the Son of God, came not to be served, but to serve." So he's telling them, you have to be able to humble yourself before you can take that spot.
Yeah, and before that, he even says something about a cup like, you got to drink some cup and you got to be baptized with the baptism. He asked them, can you do those things? So they said, sure. That's, he asked them these questions. We'll see what that means. Then when it went on after that.
They kept going. They get to Jericho. I think the guys that were mad are probably still mad, even though Jesus quieted the thing down. And as they're leaving town, there's a lot of people following them. And this blind guy is hollering for Jesus. And, you know, he wants something too. And, I mean, are we going to get anywhere that we're going today? And Jesus stops and asks him, well, what can I do for you?
And what happens next?
He's healed.
He's healed.
His blindness.
Good job. Good job. You got the answer right. He's healed, and then he follows Jesus. And so that's kind of the story that we're in. So kind of one of the first questions is here is for discussion is, what does this passage reveal about God? When you guys look at this, what does this reveal about God?
I think for me, one of the biggest things that it reveals is the power of God, not only being able to heal a blind man and having him see, which is amazing, but also kind of having that power and authority to decide who sits at the right hand and the left hand of Jesus. And I think that, yeah, just exemplifies the power that God and Christ both have.
Mm-hmm. I would say, to me, it reveals about God that God really looks at the heart behind what we're asking. Like his disciples were, in the ESV translation, it says, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. That seems very high and mighty of them to come up to Jesus, like, we want you to do whatever I say. And so he tells them, if you are able to do what I can do, you might be able to, but it's God that has prepared those spots. I can't say if it will be or will not. And then when you see the blind man, he's crying out in desperation, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's showing that he really believes that he is the Son of God, and he's just desperate for a change in his life.
Yeah.
And when I think of both the disciples asking for things and the blind man asking for things, I appreciate that we can ask God for things, and even if they're, like, really absurd, and he's like, okay, like, you have no idea what you're asking. You know, we still are able to go to him and trust that he's going to respond and answer what's best for us.
Right. So. And not only that, but, like, be willing to listen. Mm-hmm. Of each time, no matter who it was, Jesus was like, what can I do for you? Mm-hmm. What can I do for you? And two very different situations, but still the openness that Christ and God has to our prayers and our requests.
Yeah, I think when I grew up, I thought God was kind of like, when you pray, you got to say all the words right, or I'm going to whip you. You know, like, I'm kind of like, I got to get all the words right. But God seems like is willing to hear the disciples' questions and dialogue without, like, waiting to whap, right. Whip them, whap them, whap them. That's a real word.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anything else this reveals about God?
Well, and he's talking about the authority and who's in charge, but he reminds us that he is the one that lays down his life. Mm. Yes. So even though it might look like it's, you know, the authorities that are taking his life from him, he says, no, I'm laying down my life for a purpose, for the ransom for many.
Right. I think, too, it also reveals that God is, like Miranda was saying, very willing to serve us. Saying that even God would come down in human form and be willing to serve all of mankind. Like, that's what he came down here for. It just shows the type of love that God has for us. It shows what God really wants for us, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Would have been easy for Jesus to just kind of say, well, I'll put in a good word for you, you know, because I'm about to die for the whole world, you know, look in the next passage. I'm sure I can talk to Dad and we'll work something out about those seats. But he doesn't grasp for that kind of glory in serving all. He's in such unity with his Father that he wants to do what God's glory would demand, and that's laying his life down.
Mm-hmm. What do we see about God's character in the kind of the second part, the story with the blind man? What do we see about the character of God there? Or what does it reveal about God, not the character?
to see more of that mercy. I mean, even the word mercy is used. But as you said earlier, he stopped in both cases. He listened to both questions. Mm-hmm. It'd be so easy to just blow on past. He's got important stuff to do.
Yeah.
This mission from God that he's on. And
yeah, the whole idea of have mercy, I mean, it's something he didn't deserve. God gave him something he didn't deserve. He didn't earn it. Mm-hmm. See that God gives gifts of grace and mercy.
Yeah, I think it's the perfect example of Christ's love where, like you were saying, Lance, he had so much he had to do, but he still stopped and healed this man and showed him grace and love and mercy and took maybe 5 minutes out of his walk to, I mean, witness to this guy and show him the true love and grace and mercy that Christ had for him, or that God had for him.
Yeah.
Reading this, I think if, the second part, if Jesus heard him the second time or the first time he called, and if he wouldn't have called again, would he still have healed him? Like that's one, because the people told him to stop. Don't cry out. And then he called again louder. And then Jesus was like, oh, okay. Like you're really wanting this. You really believe that I can do this for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So see how easy that question is? What does this reveal about God? Just as it creates a discussion. This wasn't scripted. We thought about this a little bit, but nobody's up here with their notes going, this is what I have to say. So even if you come back our second gathering, our second service, it probably won't look the same. I tried this with my family this week, and my one son said, well, it says Jesus, but then it says God only has authority, so is God Jesus? And then it went off the rails into this whole discussion about the Trinity. And then trying to describe the Trinity to my 8-year-old, it was like nailing Jell-O to the wall. So it was a good discussion. The first question is, what does this reveal about God? The first question is that, and what does this passage reveal about humanity? What does this reveal about us as human beings?
I think the biggest thing when reading this that reveals about, I mean, just us as humans is our selfishness. I have been doing all these things and I deserve to be here. And you, Jesus, have to do that for me because I'm asking you to. And I think that's just, it reveals our sinful nature as humans and almost how we expect so much from Christ because we are helpless and we need him so much that we almost expect these things from him because of our sinful nature.
Mm-hmm. I think for what it showed me was that sometimes even as the followers of God that we can be, sometimes we can get wrapped up in kind of asking God for things, how the disciples did. It's like, we want you to do this for me. Even the ones that are closest to God will be arrogant at times, and we will mess up, we will fall short. And then the ones that are just in desperation and aren't close to God, like the blind man on the side of the road, God will hear that person and take his request because he sees the content of their character, sees their heart behind it. And I think it just shows that even us as Christians, sometimes we can fall short.
I also backed up to the verses just preceding this and our discussion last Sunday, how Jesus was telling them, I'm going to be mocked, I'm going to be flogged. I mean, he's giving this description of his death. And following that, they say, well, what about me?
Yeah.
Somebody's like painting this horrible picture of what's going to happen to them, and they just kind of, seem to push that aside and go, okay, well, yeah, that's kind of too bad, so what about me? And how often we can, it's just being selfish and thinking of, ourselves. So.
Right, and then even for them to take it further, Jesus is like, okay, well, if you can do the things that are going to, if you can go through the same things that I'm going to be going through, do you think you can do that? And they're like, oh yeah, of course I can. You're like, huh, okay. but it points to that, well, what about me?
Yeah.
What's going to happen to me? And Jesus is like, what's going to happen to me? hello?
Yeah, I think going off what you said, if they were to have the knowledge that we do of being like, are you sure you're able to do this? Like, go what I'm going through? They would be like, nope.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard, I think of the Passion of the Christ movie. It's hard to watch that movie because you just feel this, pain and agony for Jesus. And they had no idea what was coming. They did not know it was going to be brutal or, the way that he was going to die, anything that was going to happen in those last hours. So it just goes to show that they really had no clue what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah, just as a side note, if you're following with us through the book of Mark, this is three times in the book of Mark, Jesus says, I'm going to die and be raised again. And right after that, it says, be a servant of all, basically. And this is kind of the third account of that. So that's the kind of the context that was brought into our discussion. This is kind of like the documentary. I'm kind of talking to the camera, now breaking back into character now. So anything else? You know, one thing, for me, it reveals kind of that entitlement, you know, that these disciples have been following him and just like, I deserve to sit at your right hand. And sometimes I think as human beings, we just feel entitled to things from God, like you do for me what I want you to do, like genie in the bottle.
Well, and even I'll serve how I want to serve, you know, so God, I'll only serve in that way. I'll only serve in ways that I feel that I'm good at. I'll only serve when it's convenient,
right,
when it doesn't interfere with my schedule. You know, it's, yeah, we can go to that area of entitlement very quickly and still feel like we're serving. But again, are we serving just for ourselves so we feel good and we feel like we're, you know, doing something good?
Yeah, let's look just for a minute about this humanity question, looking at verse 42. It says this, and Jesus said to them, And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who consider rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be among you. So, and he goes on, but what does that reveal about humanity? What is Jesus speaking into humanity there about revealing our, how we lead people, or how apart from Jesus we lead? This is the awkward silence of a small group.
Lance, could you read it in the NLT version for me?
Yeah, so Jesus called them together and said, you know that in this world kings are tyrants and officials lord it over the people beneath them, but among you it should be quite different.
So when I hear it in the NLT, NLT is a little bit easier for me to understand. But I think what he's talking about is the church as a whole. So us as Christians, we can't, and directly I think talking to James and John, but that like you can't see yourself as someone that's higher than anybody else. You know, you can't, don't act like the lords and the officials that hold their authority over everybody. Like, oh, I'm greater than you because I'm an official, I'm a lord. We're all on the same playing field. It's not who's better than who, it's how can we help each other, which is why he goes into what I believe, why I believe he goes into that whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't see yourself as somebody greater than everybody else. You have to see yourself almost as the least of them all and act that way.
Reveals about humanity that whenever there's a vacuum, someone will take power. Yeah. We see it all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, someone will seize power, whoever has the most guns or whatever. And
I think,
Go ahead.
I think that this just came to my mind that it could be too that he's talking about the Gentiles in this, but I think too he might be poking a little bit at the people are in charge of the church, like the priests and the rabbis and all that sort of thing, because they tend to hold different things over the masses. Like they'll take and keep money that was for tithing. They'll hold things over their heads. And they won't, like at the time, nobody could go up to the altar and like the Holy of Holies and that sort of thing because of all these rules that they were following. I think he was encouraging them not to be leading in that way.
Yeah, I think, yeah, as human beings, apart from Jesus, we want to have control and power over people because it's cleaner, you know. So look, we've not covered everything in this passage, but we've had a good discussion about who is God, who are we as human beings. And as a facilitator or a discussion doesn't mean you have to cover everything in the passage or work it verse by verse. Yes, there's times as teachers and groups that we want to cover things in such a way, but we also want to demonstrate also how, as a group, we can just have a good discussion about who is God and who is humanity from a passage. And then kind of bring it to application, because the Bible isn't about information. It's about transformation. It's the power of God's word to transform us. So that's why it's really important to have a question for application. And it says this: if this passage is from God, what should change about how you live?
So when I was thinking through this of being a servant, I was thinking, well, what do I see a servant really looking like? And just through some discussion with friends this week, I was thinking specifically of people that are helping their elderly parents, because it's that time when you are loving somebody that maybe you're not getting much in return, because maybe they're dealing with dementia, or maybe they're kind of going back to their old ways as they're struggling with the end of life, and how long it sometimes takes to walk your parent through some of those difficult years. But you just give, because God's called you to it, and who else is going to love your parents like you do? So we've had that experience in our family, but just recognizing that's true servanthood, because you're serving when it's not convenient, you're serving when it's difficult, and you just continue to do it and to show up. So I just was appreciating that in others.
So I can relate to that in a little bit. I work for a company that provides services for adults with disabilities. Mm-hmm. So it isn't even someone I'm necessarily related to, and I'm forced to go to work and work with these individuals who, you know, they come in and they have a rough day. But I think this verse just really speaks to me in the sense of, you know, this is what I'm called to do. This is what Christ has called me to do. And going to work and changing my heart and realizing, you know, I'm not better than them. You know, I have to look at them as other individuals and the same as me, and truly love them with the love that they need. But there are days that are hard, and pushing through those days and being like, okay, you know what? This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm here. This is what God calls me to do. And just pushing through and truly loving them and showing them the love of Christ every day. So yeah, for me, it's more of a heart thing of changing my heart and my mindset and being like, okay, you know, what would Jesus do in this instance? You know, this person's yelling at me and they're not going to apologize because that's what they do, and it's okay. Like, that's not why I do this. So it's a heart thing for me, I think.
Yeah, I think from... Oh. We keep on talking over... No, you go. Let me be a servant of you. Let me just... You go. No, you go.
I think it... for me, it's showing how aware I need to be of how I approach God, and how I am, like, even in prayer and, like, small group time or anything like that, how me approaching God, just the effect that can have on the relationship that the both of us have together. It seems weird saying that, because God is, like, I've never met God before, but I mean, we do have a relationship, so it makes me think of how I've been approaching him in prayer and that sort of thing, looking at him as, like you said, a genie in a bottle, instead of a friend, a king, that sort of thing. And also going off with what Miranda was saying about servanthood, I also work with kids that have, like, autism, emotional behavioral disorders, so being able to put on a happy face and serve them with the best of my ability, even when I might not be feeling that, just to serve them because that's what they need, is something I'm getting out of this passage.
Yeah, I think for me, it's, I feel like I can have moments of servanthood, but I want to have a continuous heart of servanthood. You know, with four boys, I remember bath time when three of them had bath time. It was like, bath time, and I'm like, you know, I don't want to give baths, or, you know, now it's drive time. Now they all need rides somewhere, but I want to have not moments of servanthood, or it's the reaction when Dulcie asked me to do something of a willingness instead of a, I will, sure, you know, a continuous posture of servanthood instead of moments of servanthood, because that's what Jesus has done for me, so he wants to do through me. So, anything else? So the last question is this. And notice Lance didn't answer, and I didn't make him answer. Don't make everybody answer in a group. And notice even how that question is worded. If this passage is from God, because we assume more and more at Trinity that we want to invite people into small groups and small group settings that don't follow Jesus and don't believe the authority of the Bible. So just that's a good way to buffer that of like, if this is from God, how are you going to obey it? And I also didn't make Lance. Now, Lance, what are you going to do this week to obey Jesus? That's just stupid. It's not openness and friendliness. So the last question is this. Who needs to hear the truth of this scripture that you can share it with this week? Identify a time this week when you might have the opportunity to share with them. I think it's also a way to, how can you demonstrate this? So it's a great question of saying, how can we show the love of Jesus to others? So just because of time, let me have just two of you guys answer that question. If who needs to see or who needs to have this shared with them this week? I mean, you guys are engaged, so we just don't want you to be like, well, my fiance should serve me more. That's not what, let's see. So go ahead, Lance, you're going to say something.
Yeah, I needed to see this week and hear it. And to spend some time with my kids so Jen could have some time to herself yesterday. And it doesn't feel like serving because it's just something fun to do, but the outcome is that it benefits her. It's love for her, but I needed to hear it because I need to remember that no one is beneath us. Hmm. No one should be beneath us, and that I can either come to Jesus in desperation, as you said, or with aspiration for what am I going to get from riding his bandwagon.
Yeah, good. Thanks.
I think for me, I work in a very high-stressed job, and so this week I think I have about four other coworkers that work with me in a room with 40 individuals, and we get to the end of the day, and it's like, all right, let's clean up the entire five rooms that we have. So I think for me it would be it being intentional and stepping out and being like, how can I serve you today? What do you need help with? Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, sending an email, making a phone call, or cleaning up a room that is a complete disaster. But I think in the workforce, it's something, it can be hard, but in this sense, it makes it a little bit more simpler. Like, how can I help you? You know, it doesn't seem as, you know, oh, your heart, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's more of like, how can I help you today? And just showing that love and care for them and showing them a different side that they probably don't see every day.
Yeah. So. Thanks. So one thing that we just did is, how is this going to apply to us, and how are we going to show and share this? So if we were a group that met together, we could come back and ask each other, how did that go for you last week? It's okay to have accountability of, how did you walk in obedience, or how did you show and share that to other people? So we can come back and talk about that, because we want to encourage one another to walk in obedience to Jesus. So why don't we give these folks a round of applause for their time this morning. Thanks, guys and gals, for your time. So hopefully you got to see a little of a demonstration of how to facilitate a discussion. I facilitated it, and yes, I'm a pastor, but if you watch that conversation, I didn't use any of my knowledge of the Bible. I didn't use any teaching. I just kind of helped us walk through the passage of, let's read it, let's make some observations. What do we see about God? What do we see about us? And then how do we apply that to our lives this week? Yes, there's times for strong, authoritative teaching, but there's also a time that we are the body of Christ and that we need to talk about it and not just listen to others pontificate about the Bible, but how do we really apply it to ourselves? So I'm going to invite the worship team to come up as I just kind of wrap up our time this morning in the teaching. If you notice twice in this passage, you don't have to go back, but Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? That's what ties these two together. It's an incredible question. The disciples first answer it out of kind of pride and position. They want a position and they want power because they're prideful. We want to sit at your right hand and left hand. Then Jesus asks the same question to the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? And he comes out of desperation. And Jesus answers him. It's an incredible question that the God of the universe says, what do you want me to do for you? It almost seems counterintuitive that the God of the universe would say, how do I serve you? How do I help you move forward together, forward as humans? But he actually answers that question when he says in Mark 10:45, which it's, I love it, this passage, because it's the first verse I ever memorized in the Bible, Mark 10:45. When I was a freshman in high school and Young Life and Campaigners, I wasn't even a Christian yet, and I memorized this verse, Mark 10:45, that the Son of Man came not to serve, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. It's a pretty good verse to memorize for your first ever verse. Maybe I would have liked to begin with Jesus wept, because I would have gotten that one really good, because it's simple and easy. But I think if that was the verse, what do you want me to do for you? The Son of Man came to serve. The God of the universe came to serve and not be served. The King of the universe came to lay down his life as a ransom. See, friends, look, what God has done for us and who he is as a servant and laying down his life for us, that's who he is. He is a servant of all and loves all, and he laid his life down on the cross as all. It's who he is and what he's done. And out of who he is and what he's done, we become servants. Does that make sense? He is a servant, and then our identity is servants of the utmost King. And out of our identity that he has given us as servants of who he is and what he's done, that enables us and frees us to serve one another. You see, sometimes as followers of Jesus, I've got to serve people. But it's rooted in the reality of who is God. He's a servant. And what has he done? He came and served us. And out of who he is and what he's done, he makes us and creates our identity as servants and slaves to all people. And out of who we are, then we serve people. And there's freedom in that, and we get to serve the world. We get to serve the least of these. We get to serve our husbands, our wives, our children. We get to serve our friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers. We get to look for opportunity to serve where we work, where we play, and where we live. We don't have to. We get to, because of who he is and what he's done and our identity in Christ, and we walk out our identity as servants. And there's freedom in that. So may we be a people who live out our identity as servants, because that is the identity of our servant King. So let us stand and worship. Let me pray for us. Lord, help us to continue to worship you in spirit and truth. Thank you that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead resides in all of us. Thank you that we are the body of Christ, that we can discuss the Bible and challenge one another. And we can look into it and we can walk in obedience to it. And you've empowered us and enabled us to serve. May we walk out these truths, and may we be a people who lead one another towards Jesus in the everyday stuff of life. In Christ's name we pray, amen.